Brian Wilson has died, and there are certain musicians, certain celebrities that, I don't know, there's something about a death, even when you know there are challenges, and we knew that Brian Wilson had mental health issues. He had been diagnosed with dementia as well. But it still just kind of hits with a punch to the gut. John Bream is the great music writer for the Minnesota Star Tribune. He's with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline because his story just hit, talking about Brian Wilson, his Minnesota connections, and John's connections and interactions with Brian Wilson over the years. John, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Sorry for such a sad occasion. And we lose Brian Wilson and Sly Stone in the same week.
Yeah, it is. It is one of those weeks for music where some of this, John, is a little bit of a reminder of a generation's music, that those artists are at an age and at a point in life where here we go, you know.
Right. But not only was it a generation's music, but it's a music that still holds up. You can still listen to the music of Sly Stone or Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys. And it still feels good today. It sounds good. It still resonates. And that's one of the things about Beach Boys music. Whenever you hear a Beach Boys song, don't you just feel good?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And
there are many of their songs. I mean, there's a few that are downers and, you know, expressions of some of the mental health issues that he dealt with, but and loneliness. But, you know, generally Beach Boys, you know, give you a sunny feeling.
Yeah. There is magic to that. And I've been really curious about, I don't know if you would agree that there's been maybe a critical rediscovery or more of an understanding of the genius of the Beach Boys in modern time, but I feel like they've gotten their due, which wasn't necessarily the case years ago.
Well, in their time, I think people thought of it as more like disposable teenage music.
Yeah, bubblegum pop, right?
Well, I don't know if it was bubblegum back then, but it was sort of celebrating, you know, the California teen lifestyle.
Yeah.
And, you know, they lived it out in California, but the rest of us, did we want to go there and be there, be part of it? Maybe we did, you know, California dreaming.
Yeah.
And, but I think in later years, people began to recognize the genius, which was what he did in the recording studio. He was mostly the composer, okay? Other guys wrote the lyrics. He did write the lyrics on some songs, but he mostly wrote the music and came up with the arrangements and the ideas on, oh, let's use a theremin on this song, or let's use a full orchestra, or whatever he wanted to do to create the layers and layers of sound.
He wasn't a surfer, which is kind of interesting when you consider the iconic songs, right?
No, one of his brothers was a surfer, but no, he wasn't a surfer. He played quarterback on the high school football team, but then he loved the Four Freshmen and the Harmonies, and they started singing together in high school, and the rest was history.
When you think back to that time, John, would you have guessed that those songs would endure in such the way that they have?
You know, when I was a teenager like that, you know, did you think the Beatles songs would endure? Did you think, you know, these songs would endure? I mean, you really had no idea. I mean, you know, you didn't realize there'd be oldie stations at some point.
Right.
You didn't realize you were going to grow old, did you, Jason?
No, I didn't.
And so the stuff you grew up with is still the stuff that you like the most, I think, when it hits you in those impressionable years. You know, whether it was the Beatles, the Beach Boys, Britney Spears, you know, Taylor Swift, whoever hit you when you were 14 or whatever, that's a lot of the music that stays with you.
You, of course, for all your years of covering music, have talked to Brian Wilson many times. You tell a story about riding in an elevator at a Minneapolis concert in 1999. Could you share that?
Well, I got backstage because I knew the tour manager, and I had interviewed Brian on the phone a couple of times and got introduced to him backstage. And, you know, yeah, people are nervous before a show, and they have, and he admitted he had stage fright all the time until he sang, till he started performing and hearing the band kick in. But he was just like listless and motionless and just staring straight ahead. And I'm in an elevator with him and, you know, a few other people. And it just felt like he was lost in his zone, like he wasn't there.
Yeah, do you think that, I mean, I guess, what do you make of that? Did we really understand kind of what sort of mental torture he was going through or putting himself through?
Oh, I don't think we had any idea of all the stuff he went through until maybe, you know, we saw that the Bill Pollard movie in 2014.
Right.
But it was, no, I don't think we really understood that. And, you know, it was a different time because we didn't have, you know, all the media and people weren't probing into the lives of the various stars like they are nowadays. You know everything about them.
Right. Yeah, it's so different. It is so different. John Bream is with us talking about Brian Wilson. You also note in your story, and I didn't know this, that his mother, Brian Wilson's mother, was born in Minneapolis.
Yeah. Little known fact, I guess. I don't know much more than that. I asked him if he had any relatives or anything like that here. He said he didn't know.
Yeah.
And when you interviewed Brian Wilson, you would get short, simple sentences. Rarely did you get a paragraph answer out of him. It was just short and to the point.
Always? He was always that way over all the years?
In all the years I interviewed him, I don't know what he was like in the heyday of the Beach Boys. He might have been different, but in his later years, he definitely seemed, for lack of a better word, damaged, I guess.
Yeah. You know, reading through some of the different obituaries about him in the New York Times, they brought up a couple of quotes from Bob Dylan talking about Brian Wilson's ear, his ability to craft really complex. I think when you hear the songs, if you just listen, you're like Surfing USA, you know, we're having fun. But when you really look at sort of the musicality and the composition, it's pretty impressive stuff.
Well, it's very complicated and complex. And if you put on headphones, you can really hear all the different things that are going on.
Yeah.
And making it doubly amazing, it was all in his head and his designs, but he was deaf in his right ear because the story was that his father, who was abusive and was managing the band, hit him in the head with a pipe or something, and Brian lost hearing in his ear. So here he's doing this orchestration with only one good ear.
Just crazy.
And so when he was on stage, he'd have to sit a certain way so his good ear was facing the band. You know, so he could hear it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, we don't know when he died or what the cause was, but his wife died in 2024. He was under a conservatorship because he was diagnosed with dementia. So tough when you look at really an amazing musical legacy. And we're going to you will hear those songs at baseball games in the middle of summer, perhaps till the end of time. Right. I mean, there just is something about that transportive quality of those songs.
Right. And, you know, their sort of greatest hit album was called Endless Summer. And I think that's what the Beach Boys delivered.
Really good. John Bream, his story is live at StarTribune.com right now. Remembering Brian Wilson with us. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Busy afternoon for John, writing, reporting all of this out, and we really appreciate his insight and perspective. Lots of text coming in, too. It's been a rough week for musical icons, for sure. Deaf in one ear, says Benjamin on YouTube, and could still mix music in stereo. Pretty amazing. Yeah, sure is. Drive Time, back in just a minute here on CCO. Texter pointing out that Paul McCartney has said God Only Knows is the greatest song ever written, and it reduces him to tears whenever he hears it. Oh. Yeah, something about, you know, there. I'm a little younger than core Beach Boys era, right?
Yeah.
Both of us were born in 75.
I was born in 74, but that's okay.
You're old. So, but my parents listened to oldies.
Sure.
So when I think about the music of my childhood, yes, I was listening to Michael Jackson, mm-hmm. and I was listening to Huey Lewis and some of that stuff, Debbie Gibson in the mid to late 80s.
Explains a lot.
But we were also listening to the Beach Boys.
Sure.
Because that is what was on the oldies station. And so that music for me is very, very nostalgic.
What John said about, you know, there's that those formative years of your life and your teenage years, that whatever music hit you at that point is sort of the music that stays with you. That really resonates, I think, with so many different people, no matter what generation you're from, that you find that music in that period of time. For me, it was the Seattle 90s sound. That hit me in a different way, and I can listen to any of those bands and all of those bands for hours and hours and hours and never be bored. I just love that sound. But you do appreciate, you know, I'm not the world's biggest Beatles fan, but you obviously appreciate the talent and the skill.
Yeah.
And with the Beach Boys, I appreciate them this may sound a little weird, but in the same way I appreciate some classical music in terms of the layering.
Yeah,
the ability for a composer, and in this case, like, you know, John referred to Brian Wilson as the composer of the group, the ability for that person to hear in their head the way that all of these different sounds layer and harmonize and sync together, and then to be able to pull them apart and have each individual instrument or band member do, you know, X, Y, or Z and stitch it back together. That blows me away that somebody can think on that level.
And that compilation album, that Endless Summer album, was released in 1974. Were you alive June 24th?
No, but not I was weeks away from being
weeks
born.
Away.
Yeah,
maybe you were listening to it like,
well,
in utero.
I wasn't gonna say this on the air, but what the heck? They're not listening anyway. I love my parents with all of my heart, and their taste in music is awful. So I was not exposed to those kind of bands as a kid.
155 weeks on the Billboard albums chart. Pretty crazy. Yeah, there's this surf. There are certain songs and artists who just perfectly encapsulate a period of time and a place. And that is, I mean, for us here, like, we've been over the last week celebrating Prince's birthday. And Prince and the Minneapolis sound, Prince for me immediately takes you to a place and a time, and it's here. The Beach Boys. The Beach Boys to me feel like summer camp, endless possibility, nothing but fun and girls and hormones and all of that stuff. Brian Wilson. CBS News coming up. We've got D Rush Hour news headlines too. Stick around.